Notice with me as we turn to Ephesians chapter 4. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to preach a message this morning on one of the worst sins in the Bible, and that is bitterness. Notice with me as we come to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Bitterness is a great sin. It's a violent thing in the heart of man, and it's a very negative emotions, and it's one of the major killers of Christians. Notice with me as we come here, I want to read verse 31 and 32 to begin. We're going to start here this morning, and then we're going to end up here. He says in verse 31, notice carefully as we read this, he said in verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." He said, "And be ye kind one to another, and tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity that you've given us to assemble together here upon thy day. And Father, as we come here, I pray your anointing and blessing upon the reading of thy word. God, help us to be attentive this morning to the things of heaven. Lord, help us to get things upon this earth off of our minds. Lord, help us to forget about what is taking place this past week or what we're going to be planning to do this coming week, and truly take this day and set it aside for worship and time together with other believers and to meditate upon thy word. And God, help us as believers as we come here this morning to look at this very important subject in the scriptures and look at other examples in the word of God. Lord, help us to rid ourselves of any bitterness that might be in our hearts. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Notice with me as we come to verse 31 again before I turn away. I want to begin here in this verse, and I want to end here this morning in our sermon titled Bitterness. There's three areas I want to look at this morning. First of all, I want to talk to you about the cause of bitterness. I want to give you some examples out of the Word of God, some people who had become bitter and some people who had not become bitter as well. Now, as we come to this, there's several ways that the word bitter or the word bitterness is used in the Scriptures. And, of course, the word bitter is used in the physical sense of taste in the Bible. We're not going to deal with that this morning. It's also used in the sense of discomfort and pain and misery and servitude. We're not necessarily going to deal with that. But I do want to deal with the fact that bitterness in the Bible is described as that which is a hard, angry, hurtful words or thoughts. That's what we want to talk about here today. And as Paul writes this letter to the Ephesian church, I want you to notice in verse 31 again, he said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Now, in this verse, he's talking to believers, and he says to the believers, he said, "I want you to deal with this in your hearts and your lives." And he says, "Let all bitterness be put away." In other words, get rid of it. Get it out of your lives. Do not harbor it in any way. Now, I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews in chapter 12. We're going to come back later into this passage. But notice in Hebrews in chapter 12. Now, the very definition of bitterness points to the action of others. That is, someone else. In other words, if you had committed the offense, we would feel guilty. But the fact that somebody else has committed the offense, the guilt is upon them. But what happens is that bitterness enters into our hearts. Now, let me illustrate this, the difference between guilt and bitterness. Guilt is what we feel when we have sinned. In other words, when we have sinned and we have sinned against God or sinned against others, we feel guilt, and that is a natural thing. We feel guilty. But whenever someone else has sinned against us, then we feel bitterness. So bitterness is something that, in other words, somebody's done something to me, or I feel like I've been cheated, I feel like I have been treated unjustly, I feel like my rights have been violated, someone has spoken against me or done something against me. That's when, a lot of times, bitterness sets in. So to begin with, I want to talk to you about the cause of bitterness. Notice with me in Hebrews chapter 12. There is a phrase here that's quite interesting to me, and it's called the root of bitterness. We're going to read this from verse 14 through verse 17. Bitterness is described as a root. You know, a root is something that is underground, something that you normally do not see. But the visible evidence of it can be seen very clearly. All you got to do, by the way, is with pavement or concrete or pour a sidewalk or whatever, there may be a root underneath that concrete. You may not be able to see it. But eventually, as time goes on, you will be able to see the evidence of it, because that concrete will get broken up somewhere along the way. Notice with me that as we come to the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, and I want to begin reading in verse 14, again, the book of Hebrews written to believers. He said, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see God." He said in verse 15, notice he said, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." I'm going to stop reading right there. But I want you to notice with me that Esau is given as an example of someone who became bitter. Esau is given an example. Here, Esau by choice gave up his birthright and then later became angry and became bitter because of his own decisions. But I want you to notice with me that as we come to verse 15, he says in verse 15, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you." And so we find here that it is called a root of bitterness. And he also says in this verse that it will defile many. Not only does it poison the person who is harboring the bitterness, but it also poisons others. It's like an infection that will spread through the entire body of believers. As a matter of fact, bitterness can destroy a family. It can destroy an entire church. It's something that we harbor inside that will affect many other people. Amen. So this is something that is very serious in the Bible. This is something that God says that we must deal with it. And the fruit is born by the root. You go out and pick apples off of a tree. Why? Because it's an apple tree, and because there is a root that is bringing nourishment to that. And so he's saying, talking about the root of bitterness, he's saying that this is something that is hid, it's something that is inside, it's something that grows inside of an individual and eventually destroys them and also destroys those who are around them. Now, while we're here close in the book of Hebrews, turn with me to James chapter 1. We're talking about the cause of bitterness. Notice with me in James it's actually going to be in James chapter 3. In the book of James in chapter 3. Now, I'm going to talk about this in just a moment, but bitterness is something that that is quite interesting. And again, it's a product of anger. You say, what is bitterness? Well, it is anger that has been left untreated, unconfessed, or not forsaken. Bitterness is anger that has not been dealt with, and it turns into resentment. And so it's something, and by the way, I'm going to talk to you in a moment about this. Bitterness is something that is destroying people's lives, believers as well as non-believers. I know of many over the years that bitterness has literally destroyed the individual. Now, notice with me in the book of James, in chapter 3, the cause of bitterness. What is it? anger that has not been dealt with. We've all been angry. We've all dealt with that. We've been angry about something in our life in a number of times. But bitterness is anger that has not been dealt with. It's anger that has been left untreated. It's anger that has not been confessed. And I want you to notice the cause of bitterness. Where does it come from? Where is the source? Well, according to James chapter 3, it's straight out of hell. It's from the devil. Notice carefully as we come to this passage. He says here in verse 14, I'm just going to cut into the text. The text is dealing with the tongue, dealing with our words. He says in verse 14, he said, "But if you have bitter envying and strive in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth." Now notice as we read down through, he said in verse 15, "This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strive is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, and full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Well, we find here that as he began this statement, he said, "But if you have bitter envy and strive in your hearts," he said, "don't glory about this," because in verse 15, he says that this is sensual, it's earthly, and it is devilish. In other words, it's out of the pits of hell. So where does bitterness, anger, envy, things like that comes from? It's associated with the old nature. The lower nature, it's associated with the devil, it is associated with hell. Now, I want to carry that a little bit farther. Turn with me to James chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, and notice here. Now, I want you to see here that it is the work of the flesh. Now, what is it that brings about bitterness? Well, we get angry about something. We hold on to it. We don't deal with it. We don't properly go to the Scriptures and deal with it. So we may have a disappointment come in our life. I've seen people be disappointed about things. Disappointments come in their life. Or somebody disappoints them. And they become angry. And then later it turns into bitterness. Somebody may, their feelings may be hurt. They may get angry about that. And then they harbor that anger. They do not deal with it. And then later they become bitter. Notice with me in Galatians chapter 5. In the book of Galatians and in chapter 5. I want to give you two examples in just a moment of some people who have become bitter in the Bible. But notice in James chapter 5. Galatians. Now look at this. Let me begin reading in this chapter, Galatians 5. Let me begin reading along about verse 19. Notice with me in verse 19. He said, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." Now what he does in these verses, he compares the works of the flesh with the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, he shows you the difference between the two. In verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So we find the fruit of the Spirit. We can determine by these verses whether the Spirit of God is operating in our lives or whether the flesh is dominating our lives. He says here in verse 19 again, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." Notice: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. Notice this: hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. He goes on with a list of things. The reason I read this is I want you to see that in these verses he compares the flesh with the Spirit, and he tells us that the Spirit of God will produce love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness. But he says that the works of the flesh we find wrath and anger and things of that nature. So as we come to the Bible, we find very clearly that anger, as well as bitterness, is a work of the flesh. And it's something that is from the old nature. It's out of the pits of hell. It's associated with Satan. And it's something that will absolutely destroy an individual if they allow if they harbor it and keep it in their hearts. Now let me give you a couple examples of this. Turn with me, please, to the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. In the book of Ruth, in the Old Testament, and I want you to notice here, right after the book of Judges, and I'm going to chapter 1, just going to read just a few verses here, and then we're going to go to the book of Jonah. Now we do find the Bible giving us examples of individuals who had become bitter. In other words, they got angry about something and then they become bitter. Now I want you to notice that there's a woman by the name of Naomi. I'm only going to read about three verses out of this chapter. You can go and read this story a little bit later. But I want you to notice that as we read this, that she got angry and she became bitter with God, toward God. Now I'm going to tell you why that she did that before I read. She and her family, her husband and her sons, they moved from Israel to another land, the land of Moab. And as they got there, her husband died. And then later her sons died. And so as we read this story, we find that here in just three verses, five times she holds God accountable for the tragedy that took place in her life. In other words, this woman became bitter at God Almighty. She blamed God for the bad things that had come into her life. Now notice carefully as we read them. In Ruth chapter 1, I'm going to come down to verse 13. Look at this. And it says here, "Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters." Yes, she's talking to her daughter-in-laws. "For it grieveth me." Now look at this. "It grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out," notice, "against me." Come down with me, please, to verse 20 and verse 21. Again, she had traveled out of the land of Israel into another land. Her husband, her two sons died. And she not only got angry, she became bitter. And she blamed God for the tragic things that had taken place in her life. I want you to notice with me as we read in verse 20 and verse 21. Says here in verse 20, said, "And she said unto them, call me not Naomi." That name basically means pleasant. Her name meant pleasant. But her life was not pleasant, and she became bitter. And it goes on to say, "Call me Mered, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing that the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" Notice, as she's coming back to the land of Israel, she's coming back without her husband, without her two sons, and she is bitter. And in these verses, five times in three verses, she blames God for what has taken place in her life. She became very bitter. Notice with me in the book of Jonah. Let me give you another example of this. In the Minor Prophets, notice in the book of Jonah. In the book of Jonah. I'm going to go to chapter 4 for time's sake in the book of Jonah. Notice here with me, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Now we see without any doubt then the cause of bitterness. What is it? It is when anger has not been dealt with. It is when anger has been left untreated. When anger has been left unconfessed. When anger has not been forsaken. Then it turns into bitterness and resentment. So we see the cause of it. It's straight out of hell, and it's associated with the old nature. It has nothing to do with the new nature. It has nothing to do with the fruit of the Spirit. Now notice carefully as we come to the book of Jonah. Now we all can testify this morning that there's been things happen to us. There's been people who have wronged us. I mean, there's all of us in this assembly this morning has probably been angry at one time or another. And if you say you haven't, we're going to have an altar call after a while, and for those who are liars. But anyway, we've all been angry at something or somebody at one time or another. We may have even been angry at God or questioned God. I mean, we've all dealt with these kind of things. But here's the thing. When anger has not been dealt with, it will turn to bitterness, and it will destroy your life. It'll destroy your spiritual life. It'll remove you from God Almighty. And I'll tell you what, I've seen it destroy many people's health over the years. There was a... I'm not going to mention the person's name, but this was in their... I don't know if it was just a little booklet or a diary. But they made this statement, and I'm associating this with James chapter 3. If you back up into James chapter 3, it talks about bitter water and sweet water cannot come out of the same fountain. In other words, talking about the tongue. And in this book, this individual made this statement and said, "For a cup brimful of sweet water cannot spill even one drop of bitter water, however suddenly jolted." Now the point is that if a cup is filled with sweet water and it gets bumped or jolted, only sweet water will spill out of that cup. And the point of that is that the question that was asked in this little article that I was reading is that if it is full of sweet water and it's jolted, sweet water will come out, and instead if it's jolted harder, then more sweet water will come out. The question was asked, if you are filled with sweet water and someone jolts you, what will come out of you? It'll be sweet water. Now notice what means we come to the book of Jonah, chapter 4, and notice here we're going to talk about the consequences of bitterness as well. What are the consequences of bitterness? I want you to think about this. What are the consequences of bitterness? Well, there's a man... Well, let me give you a few words here before I say that. The loss of joy, one consequence is of bitterness. The loss of peace, even the loss of good health. You carry bitterness long enough, it will destroy you spiritually, emotionally, and it will destroy you physically as well. And you'll lose your zeal, your enthusiasm for the Lord. You'll come to the place where you're no longer useful for God Almighty. There was a man in 2 Samuel, I challenge you to write this down, 2 Samuel 17:23, that because of bitterness and anger and resentment, it led this man to suicide. He killed himself because his counsel was rejected by others. Now notice with me in Jonah chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Now I want you to notice that Jonah got angry with the Lord. Jonah became a bitter man for a period of time. What had happened? He thought he had the right to be angry. He did not want to go to Nineveh. They had been enemies of the children of God. God sent him to Nineveh. He didn't want to go. You know the story how that he had got on the ship and took off, and God prepared a whale to take care of him, bring him back. And so finally he did go to Nineveh. He did preach. And after the people got saved, the entire city got saved, Jonah got mad. First preacher I've known of getting mad because somebody got saved. Now I want you to notice what happened with him. He got angry with this. Notice with me in verse 1, as we read in verse 1. It said, "But it displeased Jonah exceeding, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying that when I was yet in my country, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish? And he said, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness and repenteth thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." He got angry. He got angry with the Lord. He got angry with the fact that God saved these people. They were originally Israel's enemies. He got angry about this. And then bitterness set in. Notice with me as we come down to verse 9. In verse 9. And it said, "And God said unto Jonah, doest thou well be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death." Jonah thought he had the right to be angry, and that anger began turning into bitterness as God began to deal with him with this. So we see the consequences, without any doubt, of the issue of bitterness. It destroys us. It causes us to become to the place that where we're self-centered. We become enslaved to that bitterness. We become distracted from the duty that God has called us to do. We become separated from the presence of God Almighty. We lose our joy and our zeal and enthusiasm. We lose our peace when we allow anger to be turned into bitterness. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. In the book of Matthew in chapter 6. Over the years, I have known a number of people who have become angry. A bitter Christian, by the way, is a disobedient Christian, without any doubt. A bitter Christian is a disobedient Christian. But over the years, I have known many who have become angry, and they never dealt with the anger, and it turned into bitterness. And I've made a point, and I've prayed to God. I said, Lord, don't ever allow me to hold anger inside and to become bitter. I have prayed about that. Because it's easy to do. We're human beings. We have an old nature. And it's easy to allow that to happen. So what I have tried to do is that I have tried to remember the good things that were done to me and forget the bad things. Because let me say this, bitterness remembers. As a matter of fact, bitterness can remember a conversation in detail that took place 10 years ago. Are you following me? There are those that when people have wronged them, they will hang on to that. They will hang on to that resentment, and it will grow and it will build, and you see, and it will manifest itself. You can see bitterness in the tone of somebody's voice. You can see it in their face. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their action. You can see it in their attitude. They cannot hide bitterness when it is in the heart of an individual. And I prayed to God. I said, let me forget the bad things that's happened. Let me remember the good things that has happened and the good things that people have done to me. And there are those who are so bitter and they will hang on to this thing and hang on to this resentment is that they can in detail remember a conversation that took place 10 years ago. Why? Because they've not confessed it, they've not dealt with it, and that anger has turned into bitterness, and it's destroyed them spiritually, emotionally, and eventually will destroy their health. I'll give you just a few examples of that, just a few people I've known over the years. There was a preacher that lived, that pastored in this county, and this individual over the years, he was from up north, he's been down here for many years, and this individual has had a lot of church problems over the years. I don't know many preachers that hadn't, but he's had a lot of church problems. He's had church splits, and he's had a lot of problems over the years, and so forth. And this man became, he became angry, and he allowed this anger to turn into bitterness, and he ended his ministry in anger and bitterness, and he sat in my office. He'd come by here a couple of times a year, and the last time he was in my office, he began naming the names of those who had done him wrong 30 years ago and has never forgiven them in his heart. Remember what I said, the difference between guilt and the difference between bitterness? There's a difference between the two. You see. And this preacher has held on to this, and it has absolutely destroyed his testimony. It's destroyed his joy and his peace, and it has destroyed, if physically speaking, it has also destroyed his health. There's been others. I've known people who have went through divorces. I can name some. I'm not going to do that for the sake of this being put on tape, but I could give names of those who've been through the divorce or family problems or whatever the case may be. And they become angry and they never deal with that anger. That anger turns into bitterness and they spend the rest of their life bitter either at the spouse or at children or whatever the case may be. I know a woman that sat in my office about 15 years ago and her son had been murdered and she became very bitter based upon the anger that she was carrying and she probably went to the grave lost carrying that bitterness. We were in prison preaching just a matter of about a month ago, and I sat down and talked with a man who was very bitter over what some things that some people had done to him, and he was very bitter. He wouldn't listen to the gospel. He would have anything to do with the Bible. He was bitter, and it seemed like he was enjoying carrying that bitterness. And then one other example is I know of someone that I've known all of my life. They're dead now. They live to be 93 years of age. The most bitter person I've ever been around in my life. The most. I mean, this takes the top of the list. And the thing about this is that when this individual was younger, this is one of my family members, this individual, when she was younger, she had did a lot for other people. I mean, she spent her life doing things for other people. As she got older, and she expected all of that to be returned unto her. You know what she did? She left the church 30 years before she died. Left the church because of her anger and bitterness. And no one hardly enjoyed being in her presence because of this bitterness that she carried in her heart. And she carried this anger and bitterness. She carried it to the grave. She carried it to the grave. We've talked about the cause of bitterness. We've talked about the consequences of bitterness. Let's end. Now, we're not through yet, but let's end on a positive note. Amen? Let's talk about the cure for bitterness. What is the cure for bitterness? Well, one is forgiveness, confession, acknowledging it, recognizing that it is a horrible sin, recognizing that it is my sin only. Now, bitterness is something, it's nobody else's fault. It don't matter what they've done to me. When we start talking about anger and bitterness, I cannot blame anybody else. If I become angry and I become bitter, this is my sin. This is not somebody else's sin. It doesn't matter what anybody has done to me. This is my sin. I cannot be blaming somebody else. So what is the cure for this? Forgiveness. Notice in Matthew chapter 6, and watch this carefully. In Matthew chapter 6, I'm just cutting into the text here. This is the Lord's Prayer. Notice with me in verse 12, and I'm not going to read the whole thing for sake of time. But He said in verse 12, He said, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive," notice, "our debtors." And then as we come to verse 14 and 15, I want you to notice here, He said, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you, forgive your trespasses." Forgiveness. Forgiveness is how we enter into the kingdom of God, is it not? Forgiveness is what we're going to talk about through all eternity. Forgiveness is the reason that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sin. Forgiveness, every song that we sing here in this church, some way, somehow, it's centered around forgiveness. It's what the angels sing about. It's what we will sing about throughout all eternity. Forgiveness, forgiveness. So the cure for bitterness is simply forgiveness of those who have fallen us or offended us, have done us wrong. It's simply forgiveness. And let me give you some examples of that in the Scripture. Turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 45. I got about three or four examples of this that we see in the Scriptures. Notice with me in Genesis chapter 45. We must arise above the circumstances. We must deal with the anger. Not harbor the anger in our hearts. We must deal with this in the proper way. Get rid of it as quick as you can before the anger has a chance to ferment into bitterness. Notice with me in Genesis chapter 45. How many of you read the story about Joseph and his brethren? If you read through the book of Genesis, the majority of the book of Genesis dealing with the life of Joseph and his brothers. And you, as you began reading about that, the first chapter you began reading about them, we find that they hated their brother. There was enmity between them, his other brothers. And what they did, they ended up selling him into slavery. He went into Egypt and stayed down there many years. He was in prison 2 years because of his brothers selling him into slavery. Then later, they meet up. And he ends up saving their lives. And I want you to notice what Joseph said, and let me see if any of us could say this. If somebody sold you into slavery, you end up in prison for 2 years, separated from your family for years, I bet you the majority of people in the world today would hold a grudge. He was a victim of his brothers and he never held a grudge. He was forgiving. Notice in chapter 45 in verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Now think about it. These are the words of a man that's been betrayed by his brothers, been sold into slavery, ended up in prison, and all sorts of things. And these are the words of a man to his brothers saying, God allowed you to do that. God sent me here that I may preserve you and take care of you and feed you for the next 5 years because there's a famine in the land. And then after the father died, notice in chapter 50, notice his words here. They began to be worried after his father, Jacob, had died. And they began to think, well, what's going to happen with us now? Notice with me as we come to chapter 50, beginning in verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass that it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a forgiving spirit. There's no bitterness in the heart of Joseph. He was forgiving. He forgot about what they had done unto him. And all he wept whenever his brothers came to him. And he cried over this. And he was happy to be reunited with them. Turn with me, please, to the book of Acts in chapter 7. I'll give you another example. In the book of Acts in chapter 7. Notice we're in the book of Acts in chapter 7. Many times it's not what we're eating that's killing us, but it's what's eating us. And this bitterness will destroy us. It'll eat us alive. Notice with me carefully. By the way, this is one of the reasons that we don't have revival in our churches and our families and in our land today is because of anger and bitterness and these kind of sins. In the book of Acts in chapter 7, I'm going to read this one for you. This is a man by the name of Stephen, but let me give you two other examples of this and talking about the forgiveness and the cure for this thing. 2 Samuel in chapter 16, verses 5 through 13, and also 2 Samuel, chapter 19, verses 16 through 23, David, we'll use him as an example. There's a man that cursed him, and I challenge you to read those two chapters. This man came and cursed David and cursed him, and some of the men of David wanted to kill this man. David said, no, let him curse. And then later, this man, when David came back to the throne, this man came to him apologizing and David restored him. David never became angry. He never became bitter. He was forgiving of this man that had cursed him. And then how many remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, His first words as He hung on Calvary's cross? Those that had murdered Him, those that are crucifying Him, what did He say? Somebody tell me. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, and so there's the cure for the issue of bitterness. Notice with me as we come to Acts chapter 7. In the book of Acts in chapter 7, Stephen has stood and preached to the nation of Israel in this chapter. From verse 1 through verse 60, he went through the history of the nation of Israel. He showed them their heritage. He showed them their beginning. But he also showed them their sin. And I want you to notice what it says as we begin reading in Acts chapter 7. Notice with me as we come down to verse 54. He said, and when they heard these things, that is the preaching of Stephen, it said they were cut to their heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he being full of the Holy Ghost, and by the way, that is the only way that I can overcome anger. That is the only way that I can deal with bitterness in my life is to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God. There's no other way around it. He says here, but being filled with the Holy Ghost, look up steadfastly in heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears, notice, and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And by the way, he gets saved too in a chapter or so later. And it said, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now watch this, the last verse. It says, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, notice he fell asleep. So there's the cure for anger and bitterness. No, you say, you don't know what people has done to me. You don't understand what has happened to me in my life and what people has done. Well, what about Joseph? Have you been in jail yet? Have you spent time in prison? Have you been sold in slavery? Have you been put in a pit? What about Stephen? Have you been killed yet? No, you've not resisted in the blood. As he stood in priests of the nation of Israel, they stoned him and killed him. What about David? Have you had your throne taken away from you by your own son and you're fleeing in the wilderness and people are after you, they're trying to kill you, and then a man comes walking along beside you throwing rocks and throwing dirt and cursing you? Have you had that happen yet? And what about Jesus Christ, that when he hung on Calvary's cross, have you been crucified and nailed to a cross? No, we haven't. None of these things have happened to us. The things that's happened to you and I have been very minor when you look at it in this light. And we see with all these cases right here, how was it that Stephen was able to preach the Word of God? And then when they killed him, how was it he was able to stand there and say, Father, lay not this charge to their account? It was because that he was filled with the Holy Ghost of God. You see, anger and bitterness is a work of the flesh. It's from the lower nature. It's out of the pits of hell. It comes from Satan. It does not come from the Spirit of God. It does not come from what God has put. It does not come from the new nature, the new creature that dwells within us. I want you to turn back with me to Ephesians chapter 4. And let's come back here and notice something. You know, as we think about this particular subject and look at it, we know that the church of Corinth had a lot of problems. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, some people were angry and bitter at one another. They carried each other to court. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as Paul writes there in that chapter, he deals with the fact that there were some of them that were sick and weak, and there were some of them that had already dead because of the way they'd been treating one another and the way they'd done each other. And then the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, examine ourselves. I want you to think about this. I'm going to read that verse to you. You don't have to turn there. But 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, he makes a statement. He said, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. You know what Paul is saying to the church, to the people in the church? He said, you know, here's what we usually do. We examine our neighbor. We examine the other person. He said, examine yourself. Look at your own heart. Make sure that you're saved. Deal with your own problem, your own sin, your own soul, your own spirit. He said, make sure that you're saved, because if Christ is not in you, he said, you're reprobate. You're reprobate. You see, one of the reasons that people cannot deal with anger, and one of the reasons that people cannot deal with bitterness. Now, we all have been angry. We've all probably had bitterness in our heart. But one of the reasons that people cannot deal with it and overcome it is because they've never been saved, they've never been born again, they do not have the Spirit of God within them. As I read a few moments ago in Galatians chapter 5, here is the Spirit of God. In verse 22, he said, but the fruit of the Spirit, number one, is love. It's joy. It is peace. It is long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection thereof. He said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. See, a lost man can't deal with this. A lost man don't know what to do with anger. All he knows to do is retaliate. You see, and then as that anger builds and it turns into bitterness, he don't know what to do with that. Only by the Spirit of God can we deal with this. Only by the Spirit of God can we deal with anger and bitterness. There is no other way. And you cannot have the Spirit of God unless you're saved. You know, this is what Romans chapter 8 says. I'm not asking you to turn with us. We're going to read in Ephesians. We're going to close in Ephesians in a few moments. But I want you to listen to this in Romans 8. He says in verse 8, he says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now listen, he said, in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So if you're saved this morning, then God's Spirit is abiding with inside. That's what the new birth is all about. He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He said, we must be born again of the Spirit of God. When a person gets saved, they have a divine nature that's placed inside. They have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of them. And you know what Romans 8 says? Romans 8 says that that Spirit bear witness with our spirit, showing us that we are the sons of God. In other words, when a person gets saved, they've got the Spirit of God in them, they've got victory, they're overcomers, and they can deal with the issue of anger and bitterness or any other sin that comes into their life. But a person that's lost, he don't know what to do with these things. He just goes through life and he's controlled by the old nature. He's controlled by the works of the flesh. He does not know how to deal with these things. You got to be saved. And you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost of God to be able to deal with anger. We've all been angry. We've all let bitterness spring up, as Hebrews chapter 12 said. He said, lest this root of bitterness springing up in us. It just spring up in us sometime. And he said, and it will defile. It will poison not only us, but it will poison others around us if it's not dealt with. So how is it that we're going to deal with this? Let's go back to our original text and we will close here. You got to dig up the root. You know yourself, a small root is easily to take care of. But you let that thing grow. You let it grow and it gets big enough, you can't deal with it. It's hard to deal with. Now look at this very carefully as we come to this. He says here in Ephesians chapter 4, coming back to our text, now look at this. He said in verse 31 and 32, this is where we're starting. He said, and let all bitterness. Now again, what is bitterness? It's anger that has not been dealt with. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Notice, he said, get rid of it. In all of our actions, we are to be imitators of God. We're to get rid, we're to dig it up, we're to get rid of it, we're to put it out of our life, we're to confess it, we're to bring it before God. He said in verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. I've had people say, Brother Reed, you don't know what they've done for me. I can't forgive them. Well, let me ask you something this morning. You that are saved, is there anything that Christ didn't forgive you of? Now you think about the sins in your own life. Don't be worried about your neighbor, your spouse, or somebody. But think about the sins. What all has... Think back. I'm 53 years of age. And I can go back over the 53 years and think about some of the sins in my life. And the Bible tells me that they're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm justified. I'm sanctified. I have imputed righteousness. He tells me that my sins are forgiven. And so when I think back about all the sins that the Lord has forgiven me of, it shouldn't be too complicated for or too hard for me to be forgiving to others. Because He's forgiven. Notice He said in verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, notice, hath forgiven you." Well, He's forgiven me of all sins and all violations against His commandments and His Word. Well, I can be forgiven of others of the same way. In order to deal with the issue of anger and bitterness, I must come to the place and I must be forgiving of others in order to keep this out of my life. This thing is real. And let me say to you again this morning, if you're not saved this morning, if you do not have the Spirit of God in your bosom, there is no way that you can properly deal with these things. You must have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You must be saved through the blood, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, justified by the Spirit of God. You must be sanctified in order to be able to deal with these things. And here is the simple gospel message. The Bible says very clearly, that repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus died for our sins at Calvary's cross, that He was buried and that He rose again the third day. According to the Scripture, in other words, the gospel is that He paid for my sins. He was buried, He rose again the third day. He's now seated at the right hand of God as my advocate. You say, "Well, I need some more help today." Well, He's at the right hand of God. He's interceding. The Spirit of God is inside interceding, and Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God, and He is called my advocate in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. He's called my advocate. If you're here this morning and you're not sure where you're going to spend eternity, if you're not sure where you stand with God Almighty, would you please come and talk with me this morning? I will meet you right here at front if you'll come. Believers, let me say to you this morning, now listen carefully about this. We all have been angry. We all will probably have times in the future that something will make us angry. The Bible says, "Be ye angry and sin not." And if we get angry and we do not deal with that, then we're going to have the root of bitterness springing up in our hearts, defiling not only us, but it's going to defile all of those that are around us. We need to pray, not only today, but every day, that God will keep this sin out of our lives and out of our hearts as we kneel here at this altar.